Hey everyone, as a quick heads up before we start this interview, we did have a small little audio issue on our end. Our guests, their audio still sounds great, but for us, we're a little rough. So we're still investigating what went down and what caused this, but this was such a good interview, we had to still put it out. So please bear with us while we get to the bottom of things, and I hope you still enjoy this interview.
Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR. Today we got a fun one. The energy's even good in the pre-recording.
I'm double excited, to be honest with you.
Yeah, this is the second time we're talking to some team members from VR Monkey, but this is the first time we're talking to these two. We have Pedro, the co-founder of... Co-founder of VR Monkey.
Co-founder,
yeah. I'm excited for this one. Off-air, he had teased they've been around for 10 years. I mean, real OGs in the industry, so I'm excited to get into that. But then we also have Raphael, the game director of the game we're talking about today, Skyclimb. So much fun. It's, I mean,
you say game we're talking about, we're going to bring this out to different areas for
Yeah. But that's the reason we have him on today to talk about this story. Yeah. But, you know, before I get carried away and we go all over the place, do you two mind to introduce yourself a little bit more? Tell our listeners, you know, who you are and what you do over at VR Monkey.
Yeah, of course, it'd be a pleasure. I'm Pedro Cayat. I'm the CEO, the co-founder, and I have been in the industry for longer time than I count the years right now. So more than 15 years, I stopped there. And I worked with the PlayStation 3 development. And then when I started to try VR, basically 10 years ago, I just got in love and make a leap of faith into technology of just focus on VR. So that's one of the reasons why VR Monkey has been only working with VR and AR for the last 10 years. I do have a master's of computer engineer and I love to code. So sometimes I just go deep in the code and do the stuff myself. And it's pretty fun.
And I'm Rafael. I'm new to the industry. Been working with Pedro since 2019. But we are friends since masters, so it's been more like 15 years we know each other. And I've been working with a lot of different areas of VR. So we work in industrial simulations. We work with educational programs, the portings. And now it's the first game that I'm working on, Skyclimb. So it's been quite a ride to develop it.
Wow. You both carry the same exact degrees?
No, I'm a business degree. Like, I'm engineer, more or like business. I don't know how to code.
Okay. I found it intriguing that a CEO, co-founder of a company would be like, I love coding though.
Yeah. Well, hey, he's down. That means you probably get down in the trenches, down in the nitty gritty.
Yeah, you're not going to lie to them.
But, you know, you got me intrigued. Like I said, 10 years is a long time. And it sounds like you were in the gaming industry for a little bit before that. So do you want to take us into the origins of VR Monkey? You know, how did you discover VR and how did VR Monkey come to be?
Yeah, I was working on the smartphone gaming pool. Like here we are from São Paulo, Brazil. And here in Brazil, we never had a real gaming industry until the smartphone started to be popular. And when the smartphones started to go really popular, some companies in Brazil got lucky. And I was in one of the startups. I was like the fifth guy to get in the company that was doing that game of Smashing Ants that was hugely popular. And at some point, I just realized that when the company wanted to go to other focus to change what they were doing. And I said, man, I just want to keep doing games. So that was the reason why I got out of that work and went to found Naked Monkey Games. So Naked Monkey Games was a smartphone tablet gaming company that I founded and we started to work. We got until five people there. It was fun. We were doing very nice stuff, very good games. But then my wife, now wife at the time was my fiance, she bought the Oculus DK1. And, well, I don't know if you guys remember the first developer kit of Oculus was shit for the lack of better words. But at the time it was amazing. It was something that I haven't seen it, something so great until there. And it was love at first sight. Like I said, man, this is going to change everything. Like, this is what I want for gaming for my whole life. And then we pivoted the Naked Monkey games, and the monkey is not naked anymore. He put a headset on and now he became the VR monkey. And that's the origin of VR monkey. Since then, we started doing like anything related to VR. Like, gaming was just one of the verticals that we adopt in the beginning. But we got lucky and we got into a program with Samsung and we developed a game for the Samsung VR. The name was The Rabbit Hole. It was a mix between Alice in Wonderland with escape rooms. It was a game that we did in a rush, like 4 months, 5 months. It was really, really quick, the production of that game. But it opened our eyes to see that the gaming industry in VR was growing. Even at the time, even with Gear VR, was something that could provide for a company to grow and to be stable. And that was basically the origin of VR Monkey. Since then, we did what any other VR company who has been working since then has done. We just fight to survive. So we rented equipment for events. So at one point, I remember on a Friday, I needed to call someone in the office and say, hey guys, everyone can go home because we just rented 6 of the computers and we will not have computers to work anymore. So go home, guys. We're going to rent these computers and the VR headsets. And we went to several events and we keep doing the support, just putting the hand in the heads of people and taking out. And oh my God, how many times I was not scared to death to just break one of the headsets because someone was running away from a dinosaur or scared that they jumped from a plank or stuff like that. It was crazy times. And then we found our ways into 3 main niches. That was, we were doing distro training with safety training and trying to prevent, like, saving lives. That's something that's is really rewarding for us to know that we are saving lives using the technology, and doing ports of the games, because we had our experience with our own games to port the games to basically any kind of headset that comes into your mind. Say a word, say any kind of headset you guys tried out, and I think say, yes, I know the problems that we have with that one. And specifically PlayStation VR, I think in 2020, we had around 6 titles that we ported just to PlayStation VR 1. And so far, we have done around 40 ports already. So that's basically the number of games that we ported to other platforms. It's insane, given like the few years that we have been doing that. And then at that point, we started to act as a studio, because after we did 3 games, 4 games, in fact, we kind of felt that our games were not being acceptable in the official stores. We were having trouble to really get return of the investments for doing our own games. We stopped that for around 2 years. And we came back last year with the launching of Galaxy Card on PlayStation VR 2. And now we are working on 2. We just launched it on App Lab as well. And now we have our first game that's going to be launching on the Quest official store. That's Skyclimb. And guys, you need to hear the story of this game, because Rafael is a crazy. As I said, he's not a technical guy, but in 9 months, he learned how to code in Unreal Engine. And he brought up a prototype of Skyclimb out of the blue. Like, no one knew that he was doing that, because he was doing by himself at his home in his free time.
Yeah. And also he became a father.
It's been quite a stressful
period. Thanks. We first cake line, like I said, I'm not a engineer that knows how to code. I'm a production engineer, so it's more about organizing the industry. But I've been working with Pedro since 2018, so I felt that I should learn a bit about how to code, and I start to learn how to code in Unreal Engine. And I played a lot of VR games. So the whole idea, like when I started to work on SkyClimb, it was May 2022. And I was wondering like what I could create. And I read an article from Carmack that he was talking about what did Beat Saber a great game. And the fact that Beat Saber uses the VR capabilities very well, like you mimic reality, but in a virtual space. So everything you do is convincing. And I said, okay, I'm going to try to create something that you don't use the thumbstick, like some type of locomotion that you are using all the natural parts of your body. And I'm a very big fan of climbing mechanics. So I tried to prototype a climbing mechanic myself. And I watched some tutorials and learned a bit about coding. But I didn't know how to add gravity to the plane because I know very little about the real engine. But I said, okay, but the gravity formula is very easy. So I'm going to make it myself. And I did it wrong. I did it with low gravity. And when I did the first jump, like trying the prototype, I said, man, that's so cool. Like a game that you can climb and toss yourself in low gravity. That's really, I wasn't expecting for that, but I said, that's really nice. And after that, I need some type of motivation about, okay, I'm enjoying myself to toss in low gravity and that's, but what I'm doing here. So the second thing that I created was an alligator to chase the player. So you had to move yourself through the scenario. And I was in doubt, like, but this can have scale. Like, how many different mechanics can I create? But when I created about 10 different levels of the game, I was convinced that I think I can make this a game. And then it was the day I presented to Pedro and Kayla, my partners, and they said, what do you think? And they start to play the game. And they gave me really good feedback about it. It has a lot of potential, so fun. But after a while, I'm 37 years. And you know, like when you ask for feedback of people that loves you, they tend to say nice things about what you do. But I said, this time is different. Because they play it until the battery of the quest, it runs out. But they play the game for more than 2 hours. I said, I think I can believe this. I think that we have something that could be really fun, like could really work.
We found out a magic in SkyClimb that, like, I'm not stubborn, but I'm really competitive. And the gene of SkyClimb is that, well, you know, it's the thing that each time you play a little bit better. And then you want to repeat that because you feel that you are getting better and better. So you don't stop playing. And that was present since the beginning. That was the magic that Rafael presented to us. And that was why we made the quest to run out of battery, just trying to finish the 10 levels, you know. Sorry, Rafael, to interrupt you, man.
No, that's great. And so, and that's how, like, from May to September, we did the pre-production of the game and the prototype. And by September, we put a team with senior developers to work on the game and artists and start to build the first vertical. And had a broad idea of what the game could be, like should be competitive because it's great to master. It's something that you get experience not as a role-playing game. You receive points, it becomes this real experience. Like you learned how to play better, how to toss yourself down cube to cube, and that's very rewarding. So we decided to have a loop based on classical platformers. Like you have a worm, and you have to beat the worm. There will be a boss fight at the final level, and then after this loop, you have a complete different mechanic in the next world. It's not only cosmetic. We are going to present new ways of locomotion. And I designed it during the production. I scale like, okay, I think that I can, if I did 10 worlds myself in 3 months, what I could do with a whole team is that maybe I can do a whole world of the game in 15 days. It's going to be very fast. Now no one can hold us. And it was actually much more complicated. Doing games is very tough. And we did the first world like in a month. And after like 3 months working, we had around 3 worlds, and we decided that the game should also have a multiplayer because we were having a lot of fun playing together. And Pedro had this vision. Like he called me during the weekend, said, "Man, you know, Pedro has a daughter and he plays a lot of different games himself." And he said, "I was thinking there's no Fall Guys, nothing close to that in VR. And I think we have something that would be just like this. I mean, we have a soft, in Skyclimb, you're in the balloon universe. Your cat avatar is a balloon and the enemies and the blockers. So it's nothing, it's a game that's not violent at all. So it's an adventure, but it's for all ages and everybody can have fun." They said, "Well, we could have something massive, like up to 30 competitors playing racing games, playing different activities like survive or collecting groups." A lot of ideas. So by March 2022, we had a game with 3 worlds, like almost 30 levels in the multiplayer. And we were pretty confident, like, now we have a vertical. We just have to show this to the publishers and Matt, and we're going to be in the store like this. It's just like, let's pack everything, make a pitch, and start working to show the game to other people. It's been we learned it a lot about how to present games to publishers and how to present games on Meta. In that part, like we've been doing this from April to almost August, it makes you really anxious because you start to present the game and you have an expectation like is people going to play the game or they're just going to look at the pitch. Maybe we need a better video. Maybe we need more.
It's hard.
Screen, but we have a lot of different feedbacks from what we sent. But I think the game's really strong during gameplay. Like we received very good feedback from people that actually played the game. Something that makes us really excited about the potential of the game we're developing is that during GDC 2023, we presented the game as a demo. We went with a quest and presented to a few people. And people just play a part of the game, like half of the tutorial. Just you have like 1 minute to prove your concept. And there was a guy that, the really important guy, to the industry, he took off the headset And he said, I've been looking for things in GDC, and I believe that this is the best thing I saw in the whole event. And we were so excited, like, oh, we are going to make it, like, in April, we are going to have everything set. Okay, we are going to be a set. It took us like more than 4 months talking to a lot of people. And we didn't find a publisher. We are self-publishing the game. But we had a... for us, like, VRMonkey does a lot of work to fund itself. 70% of our work is as a service provider. So we had the funds. What we are pursuing for so long with different games or access to the official store. And that was the most important news we got in August 2003. But it's been a brutal process, you know, like showing the game, answering questions, improving, iterating. Like, somebody has an idea, then you didn't look at this angle before. Like, the first version of the game was poor. It was just the climbing mechanic. So you had to master the whole thing, like how to toss yourself. And everybody in the office was getting very good in playing the game. But we didn't know how difficult people from outside would think the game was. And we added a lot of different mechanics to make it better and make the whole difference. So it's very important to have opinion from people outside your game very early in the project to know, like, what they need. They need more air control. So you have to create mechanics to dash, to dive, to fly with your hands, to control your direction. All those things we got from the perception of people from outside. And when we got the final approval, that was the moment, like, okay, now we have to make it happen and strengthen, like, we are going to work. I never reached the goal of a world in 15 days. I said, okay, now we have to produce our whole world every month and work with the team. And the team has done a fantastic job. Like, we did all our internal milestones to complete the game. That was so important. Like, it's something very, very curious. Like, to have received approval in the store, we've been waiting for a long time, and you don't have a clear date when it will happen. And just the day before, we did an update to the game. Maybe one of the most important ones. We improved the UI of the whole game, because it looked very indie before this update. And we didn't know. We said, okay, let's make this update. We could postpone it like for 10 days and try to make it better. And said, no, it's done. We have a schedule to fulfill. Let's make it today. And we did it. And the next day, we start to know, so people, they are looking at our game right now. Like, they enter the game. So we were very lucky at this also. And now we are finally getting close to the launch. After... we have 65 single-player level campaigns. We have a multiplayer up to 6 players and 24 bots. So we have a chaotic racing and other games with 30 contenders in a match. And also on a level editor, which is very, very interesting to see, like, if people have access to create things in your game, what they will create. And keep the game always fresh with novelties from the community. Right now, it's everything's done. We are just like doing the fine tuning for the launch. It's been a long journey.
When did the game come out on App Lab originally? And now when's it coming out on the official store as the launch date?
Wait. We launched it on the 11th, January 11th, 2024. as a way to have more engagement before the launch. So we didn't know if it was better to launch in AppLab or skip AppLab and launch in the main store. But we decided that it would be good to have people playing the game, even without all the marketing support and visibility from the main store, because it will help us to make final tuning, like the final adjustments with real people playing the game. And now it comes for the official store on the 4th of April, April 4th.
Will it be the same price that it is now on AppLab, or is the price going to go up as well?
We will keep the same price. Make it fair, like for people that it's very very similar content. We plan to keep updating it and launch it more features, quarterly updates, monthly updates. But the game should be similar from the early access to the main store. It has the same price.
Makes sense. I know a lot of developers like to go up in price, so I think that fans will be excited to hear that as well.
Yeah, it's
too.
A one for one.
Yeah, and it's a fun game. I want to do a multiplayer round with six people from like our Discord and stuff. That sounds like a lot of fun. But in the single player campaign, it's so long. It's like I recommend going into there and really learning the gameplay in the single player before going in the multiplayer.
You see the amount of I thought it was a joke. I'm like, there's no way there's this many levels in.
Yeah, it's a pretty big campaign.
It's like right from the get-go, you're like, wow, you're going to be playing this for a... But I'll say in playing it, I didn't honestly think I would enjoy it as much as I did, just based on trailer versus actually playing it. And the minute I realized I'm going to have to learn something here and it's not going to be as easy as just
grab
a block and throw myself in the direction... First time you hit an object and you see the repercussions of that, I'm like, oh, there's going to be a learning curve to these. Even to get from a point A to point B, if you go too hard, you're screwed. You're going to go right past it. And then the introduction of each little mechanic I'm seeing being like the flap in the arms, Chris. Yeah. Yeah. I won't lie. But yeah, I find it really enjoyable. And I like that it's really family friendly as well. So it's important to have games like this that you can play, you know,
any age,
and you're going to have fun. But I'm real anxious to see how like real little kids are going to do. I honestly am, because this is like something I could never experience as a kid ever, unless I threw myself off a tree, you know?
So for you, Pedro, what was the point in seeing the game in development, or that Raphael showed it to you? What's the point where you were like, I really think that this can go to the main.
Yeah.
I think it can go to the main store. What was the point that you were 100% sold on it?
I think there was a turning point when I tried the third board and the multiplayer. Like, this came almost together. And the way that you need to change how you play, just because the gravity goes up instead of down. Because in the third world, you are underwater, so you need to throw yourself down instead of up to go further away. And that was also, it was really a combination of like, okay, now we have artists doing real pro job here. It's not programming artists. So the game started to feel beautiful. Like it is beautiful. You have no idea how the prototype was looking. And then we put some artists on there. Oh my God, this is what the... Because we had a lot of discussions. Okay, how's going to be the game feel? Like the first time that the game... I remember we talking about, oh, let's put something like a lo-fi music, background music, because it's relaxing and the game can be relaxing. But then the game starts to, you know, grow into you and it just competitive. And then we change the background music and the multiplayer. Man, I had so much fun. Well, no, Raphael is the creator of the games. Like John Romero playing Doom, you know, it's unfair. He's good. And I'm good at it. So I was going, no, man, I need to beat you at least once. I don't know if he let me just because I was bothering too much.
But I remember at some point we were playing like, no, I need to beat you in this game. I need to, because there is also this kind of stuff that's beautiful in the game is that there is no mandatory course. Nobody's forcing you to go to any directions. You can choose how you play the game. And the way that I play the game and the way that Rafael plays the game is totally different. I like to do big jumps. Like I get one block and just propel myself trying to reach as far as I can before my hands explode because I'm too long in the air. And Rafael, he goes more a safe route, but he's propelling himself more forward. So it is always a bet, you know, if I make the jump, I can go faster than him. But if just I make the jump. So that's beautiful. And like, this is one of the things that is really difficult. It's so hard to express how fun the game is by videos. It's that thing, like, there is no flat screen that provides you a understanding of what a VR game is. And for SkyKind, it's even worse. It's even harder because there is nothing that's... It's a little bit like Gorilla Tag. If you watch someone playing Gorilla Tag, you don't understand why they are having difficulty to just moving the character. And it's hard. I don't know nobody who has started playing Gorilla Tag and said, oh yeah, this is easy. I'm going to go up here. VR has this kind of charm. It's kind of a mystery behind it. But it's so hard. And this is one of the things that we are trying hard to beats, like, how can we show people that SkyKind is so fun to play? Like, okay, there is a similarity with platform traditional games. There is also the Fall Guys vibes on the multiplayer. There is plenty of content, the level editor. But all these features, they don't express how fun it is just to try to make until the end of one level.
Grab the cube and toss yourself. Like, how to explain that?
I totally agree. I mean, again, we had seen the trailer. I knew I was going to play it. I knew I was going to try it. I just didn't know. There's no way a trailer is going to articulate the amount of fun you're really going to have within 30 seconds of playing it. There's not a huge learning curve as far as understanding
conceptually what you have to do.
I need to go from here to over there. Slap that individual.
which is hilarious. The slapping aspect, it's like the cherry on top to it all.
So on paper, it's like it shouldn't be that difficult, but there's to me getting people to try it is where that's, because it's filling, you've got a coin system, you can collect the coins on your way, so it's filling these
aesthetics
that, yeah.
And how about this, what I'm such a sucker for? High scores, leaderboards.
Yeah, don't even get me started.
On I have some so. Questions about yeah. those. Some of those, I saw Rafael on a couple of the leaderboard
three
number
seconds.
Ones. Yeah.
Three
What's
seconds?
Going on with some of these leaderboards? How the hell do some of you do it so fast? There's no that, way.
That's something we improved in the past month. Because we let the game free. Like, you have a lot of freedom to do whatever you want. So there were people that were playing like in a big hole and they did a big guardian. And when the match start, they run to the guardian and lap it before the game start. And they said, man, that's not fair. Like,
that's
not
genius.
Everybody's going to have such a big room. And that's something we are now equalizing. So you can only beat the level at the final goal. Because there were like 3 seconds. How they beat the level in 3 seconds? That was the way.
Well, it's cool because that means people saw it, were playing it and mm-hmm. saw it as like, I have, you know, what's the quickest way I get there?
Yeah.
The amount of time it must take to think, well, I'll just, that's crazy. I was curious as hell because we were talking, we were like, there's no way, dude. I'm like, I can't launch myself across it in 3 seconds.
Well, even you, I think you have 40 seconds on level one or something like that.
No, that's doable. Anything above 20 seconds, it's it's the truth.
That's insane to do that level in 20 seconds.
I think guys, he's really good.
I would love to see that in 20 seconds. The first time I played it, I think it took me 5 minutes on level one. And then, of course, I hit replay because, like, I'm a sucker for leaderboards and high scores. So yeah. I can't just do one level and then instantly go to the next. I have to torture myself and do the same level two or three times.
I hit 2 minutes on one of them, and I was real excited.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I feel, and I even looked over at the board like 2 minutes was going to even dent or so, put me up there. But no, I'm liking the challenge.
40 seconds is insane. So do you have any tips for players to, you know,
to get 40 seconds?
Reduce their times a little bit down from, you know.
Well, you got two different methods going on here.
Yeah.
Two complete different.
So yeah, both of you.
I'm more of Pedro style.
Of launching?
Of how much can I push it? But it's all or nothing. You start make one mistake, you're forward. Screwed. But I've also done the just grabbing blocks and trying to mm-hmm. do it real quick. So I'm curious what the yes. advice from each would be.
I think that the beautiful thing is that if you keep playing, the more you play, more you master the mechanics. And if you go back, like you, the competition's unfair. I played the game, all the 6-5 levels, like 100 times. You're starting the game like the first 5 levels and try to beat the best score. So after a while, like when you reach the 4th world, like if you beat more than 30 levels, you're gonna learn like what works and what doesn't work so well and what's the fastest launch you can make. So that's if you need to acquire like real experience, how you can. There's not a rule about the long jump can work. You just going forward can work, but what works for you? Like what your, in which type of gameplay is your the best way for you? So that's something you need to discover and you need practice. So maybe after a little bit more, you get like that's a way of
small who plays. Seconds here. A small who plays less than Raphael, I would say this basically the secret is try to beat at least 3 bosses before going back, because the games get so hard in the last level, so hard, then you just get used to it, because you need to beat a boss, you need to go like do a perfect jump to grab the gun and then jump again to get to the weak spot of the boss and shoot him. So yeah. When you get to that point of, I would say, the flexibility, you get so used to the movement. When you go back to the first level, you say, man, now I know how to do that big first jump. There is also one trick that we call the whip. The whip, you can just use your hand like this and really, really fast. Man, you propel like a rocket forward. It's really hard to get the timing, but when you get the timing to do the whip, man, you look like a rocket. Like, oh,
grab it. But it's important, like, for the design to progress in the correct order. Like, do a word one, then the second, then the third. It's something that we allow players to skip levels they don't want to play. Because we thought that this is cool, like it's the way we like to play games. But if you reach a level that you haven't trained enough to beat it, it's more difficult. So everything is thought about when the player comes to this point, he already knows these mechanics and then he will be ready to complete it. So it's about getting experience.
Nope. That makes sense.
Do you have an average if someone were to be like, all right, I'm doing every level, every world. I'm not stopping until I complete it. And I'm an average player, not pulling 40 second or even a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You have any idea of how much time?
Like how many hours of content there is in that campaign and that story mode?
Just in that.
We estimated it in 10 hours. And I think that an average player takes about 10 hours to complete. But there was the first player that completed the game, he did in 6. The guy was really good. Like, I was watching him, the way he plays, and I learned a lot about the way he plays. Like, It's really interesting.
Does that happen a lot that you watch people play and they're doing stuff that you all never even thought of as the developers?
I think it's common. It happens a lot, at least to me. Like, you give people freedom and you imagine what they're going to do. But when you see they doing it, it's always a surprise. Like, I didn't thought about this.
Is there any way use the enemies to your advantage that send you flying when you hit them? It was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, there has to be a way.
If you hit it at the right angle.
I can shoot myself to the end with this thing.
It's not available in every level. But when you start to get the way it works, like there's a level, I think that's World 2, level 9. You have a giant sun that's moving forward, and you have to be faster than the giant sun, because otherwise it's like a timer. But if you jump in the giant sun, he sends you towards the goal, like a rocket. If you are skilled enough to use that at your favor, you can complete it really fast. So if you have these kind of things, they are hidden in the game. There's like, after you know how it works, you can start to use the enemies at your favor.
There's no way I'm beating this game in 10 hours because I know myself. No. I'm a sucker for
going back to the levels. Yeah.
Trying out crazy stuff. You know, I hit World 2 level 9. I'm going to spend an hour on there just trying to hit the perfect shot.
Yeah. It happens to me even today. Like when I start to do QA, I say, okay, let's check the game. But when I go to that level, it's fun and rewarding to do the perfect level. But spin. More time in that just to make the perfect shot.
No, the game has so
that's
much.
That's the thing too. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's not like everyone's going to make the same choice. I was trying to just get comfortable with the angle at which I'm using my arm when I'm getting way down there, because I do the leap methods more often than not. I don't want to be off so far off course I can't correct, but yeah, I think it's.
The home run. It's a fun game.
It's a lot more fun than, like I said, I thought it would be. I'd love to. You guys should be at like all the conventions, just putting it on the headset. Because for real, it fills a niche, and I'm digging it, man.
Yeah, try it. You'll be convinced. And I'm excited to do a full multiplayer round because that just sounds like a comical good time.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get good with the whole.
Yeah, the campaign's perfect for that. Really
knowing
how
exactly
to play.
Like how much effort is it going to take for me to get from here to here, and it's not strenuous. And I want to point that out. That like
that was kind of a concern of yours. If you don't want,
yeah, I'm like I don't want to have to reach to my ceiling and have to yank down wicked hard. And then I realized I'm like, oh no, you can play this. I was doing almost little wrist flicks just to get just to figure out how far will I go if I just
little bunny hops
my wrist. Yeah, versus if I do a nice. And it's smooth. That's the other thing I appreciated. There's no, when you go flying, it's a smooth propulsion. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're jerked or you're.
Yeah, you'll have no, in my opinion, no motion sickness, nothing like that. It's a very smooth experience.
I can't
for
see.
Sure.
Well, I mean, someone, I'm sure.
There is a story about that. Because Rafael first did the prototype and he nailed the movement. And then we say, okay, let's put in production. And Rafael, sorry, the code is a mess. We needed to do it from the ground up. Rafael said, but I spent so much time to make the movement the way that I want. And no problem. We in a month, we're going to have it done. In a question of weeks, we're going to have it done. Man, Rafael was so crazy, so mad because the movement was not good enough as it was on the prototype. He kept pushing the thing like, guys, this is not good enough. We needed to do it again. The movement is not smooth. No, you see, in the prototype, I could do this and now we can do that. It really is a product of a passion. Like it is something that it was beautiful to see how Rafael put his heart on, man, this game needs to be like this and this and this. Not only he was taking care of the scheduling, but the way that he was taking care of the product, I really proud honor, you know, looking to it and say, no, okay, we need to make the game easier. How can we make the game easier? That was a big question. Like, what mechanics can we add for the game to be easier? And then we started to make the floating, the guiding, the dash. And the last one that we did was the holy cube, right, Rafael?
Yes, there's a final mechanic. Like, after 5 minutes, if you get stuck in a level, I don't want you to be blocked by... I want you to progress. And 5 minutes is enough. Like, you're not going to the leaderboard more than 5 minutes. So we made that an extra feature. It's optional. You can turn it off, but if you let it the way it is, you have 3 extra jumps between checkpoints. So in any position you are, you can close your hand and a cube will appear, and you can use that to toss yourself forward to the goal. It's like 3 is enough. Like, it's not guaranteed that you're going to complete the level, but it's much easier. And it's a way to try to mix different styles, gameplay styles. I didn't want to put out people that are more casual. Like, people that are looking for the leaderboard, they're competitive. They have a different gameplay. And I didn't want a different mode just for people that want a casual experience in an easier way. They can't compete for the leaderboard because it's different, but they are also included to the game. We created the last improvement, the last mechanic was that. So you can have a more relaxing experience in this way.
That makes sense. Somebody stuck for 8, 9, 12, 15 minutes. Yeah. They're gonna...
And it's a physical game. You'll get tired. Like, if you start moving yourself like for 12 minutes, you're done. Like, your sweats, you know. Like. So yeah. I don't, we try to prevent players from this.
I just like that you're making it accessible to everyone, for everyone. If you're a competitive player, we got your back.
We got leaderboards. We got multiplayer. Got
10 hours of leaderboard you can try to tackle. And if you just want to go in and have fun, it's also a good game for if you're a little person, learning timing, because there are, like, the one I stumbled on last night where cubes are now moving left and right across the floor, and I'm like, oh, so simply going straight might not be the... So I tried the first couple options of just throwing myself into the mix and grabbing and hoping and praying, but it does teach a level of timing, as well as how much force does it take to get from one section to a... So I'm real curious how, and I don't usually say that with games, like how younger people will deal with it, but I'm curious how kids are going to, like, gravitate to this and be able to do shit that... Well, it
has
a
very like rated E for everyone. Correct. Atmosphere. Oh, dude, you know, it's very family friendly, and
I've seen nothing in it. Even the crocodile's not, or alligator's not scary. It just you hear it coming.
Yes,
you know it's and you got, like, obviously I need to not let this thing eat. I don't even know what happens if it eats me. I've never been eaten.
So, something that you referenced right at the top that I got to ask a little bit about. Is, you know, you mentioned that VR Monkey's ported around 40 games at this point. Is that all to PlayStation VR, or is that to other platforms? And what are some of the notable ones that you all have worked in the porting process on?
I think one that we have been doing the code development support for a long time, it's Drunken Bar Fight. So we have been working with the Monkeys since 2019. So it's almost 5 years that we have been working together on all the platforms, and even recently published it to PlayStation VR too. We work with several headsets. So notably, we do ports for PlayStation VR 2 and Pico. So Pico, at some point we had a very big number of ports to the Pico headset. And by the way, I'm also a fan of the Pico 4, like the Pico 4 headset, when they launched it, it was really, really comfortable, really good. But since the launching of PSVR 2, have been seeing a very good trending on people trying to bring their titles to PSVR 2. And we aided in some of the launching titles like Knock and Dyschronia. So we are working with people from America to Japan, which is pretty crazy because we have a 12-hour difference between Japan and here. But as crazy as this looks like, it was really smooth to work with the guys. The guys are amazing. And another title that has seen a lot of marketing and it was a great title to work with was the guys from Fast Travel Games on the Vampire Justice. We also were involved in the PSVR 2 porting of that. And we have more to come that we can talk right now. I don't know. But I would say a very popular game right now in VR is going to PSVR 2 under our hands.
I feel like it's such a good way to get experience on developing games and working on a specific platform. Sounds like
this is the go-to company to go if you want your game to go on PSVR 2.
Or even just ported to another platform.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you all get to get
that. It's a resume, dude.
You get that development experience. You get to learn little development tricks. You know, just overall experience of it, the platform experience. But you don't have to invest so much in, you know, creating your own IP and creating a game from scratch. It's almost like paid skill training for you all. So then when you go in and launch SkyClimb, it's not your first rodeo with this all. You know, you kept fresh. So I think it's actually kind of genius too for you all as a company. But something that I'm dying to know too is you all are based out of Brazil. What's the VR market like over in Brazil? Is it something that's unknown still? What's interesting is I don't even think that Brazil is one of the supported countries. If you go to like the MetaQuest website, you go, where are the countries you can buy a headset? And it's crazy. Brazil is a huge country, massive population.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any longtime online gamer, you know, Brazil has a diehard gaming community. It's crazy. It's crazy that the headset isn't officially supported in Brazil. So yeah, what's the market like for VR in Brazil?
Not good. Long story short, not good. Like, unfortunately, we have a really big problems with taxes here in Brazil. So sometimes people complain about paying 20% taxes in a product. We pay 100% taxes. So if a Quest is $400, here it's $800. And our currency is also not that strong. So what our currency is from 800,000 would be around five times that, 4,000 reais just for a Quest. So yeah, it's really expensive here. Although we have a small VR community of really people who loves VR and got in love with that, but they always need to go through importers to be able to get the headsets. Our company became an importer to be able to handle the first Oculus Rift because there was no one selling here in Brazil. We went to States to buy it, to put it in a pallet and to ship it through to Brazil. And then went to get it, a pallet of Oculus Rift at the time, because we had a project with 25 headsets. Like it's still working till today. It's kind of a permanent exhibition in a museum. It's kind of VR cinema. We have 25 headsets with 25 computers. It's a trip in the prehistory of Brazil, 25 minutes around. No, it's half an hour in the prehistory of Brazil. And we had no support at all from bringing the headsets, computers. We had some government grants here in Brazil to do it. And we had a sponsorship from two companies, Intel being one of them. And we managed to do the project. But yeah, we needed to go to States to buy a pallet of headsets from a Microsoft store. So it's hard here. Like, we have amazing developers. We have a team of people, amazing artists, people who, like, I know the world would be crazy to get these guys. And we struggle a lot, like, for getting dev kits, for getting headsets. And the consumer market is even harder. Like, when we go to an event and show a Rift, sometimes people say, oh, I never seen a Rift. And we are talking about now that we have Quest 3 is available. people haven't seen a Rift CV1 yet.
Yeah, to me, it's mind-boggling to not be one of the officially supported countries. I'm around Brazilian culture a lot. I work at a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym, and it's like Brazilians are hardworking people. It shows with Rafael and pumping out this as his first ever game. And do you think that the high cost barrier due to import taxes is one of the reasons that it's not
100% tax? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that that's why it's not an officially supported country, or do you think that there's other reasons that for whatever reason it's not?
There is a logistic problem as well, and some rules like laws in Brazil, like you need to give an year of support for a technical headset. If you launch here and you have a technical problem, you need to be able to return it to the seller for a year. So we need to have a warranty, and it needs to be a local warranty. Brazil is a country that's big, really big. So it needs to be like nationwide support. So the logistics, everything, it's a little bit difficult to handle in Brazil. But yeah, I just hope this is a matter of time, because smartphones here is very popular. They were expensive. They still expensive, and it works. So I think it's just a matter of seeing it with other eyes. Like there is a potential consumer market here. The crazy thing is that the Quest it's localized. You can change the language Portuguese Brazil, even though they don't support it here. It's just that thing that, what? Why? Doesn't make sense.
They know one way or another someone's getting it there.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just, at least when you get it there, you'll be able to set it to your country's language. No, yeah. It's unfortunate. No,
on the other hand, PlayStation VR 2 is available here, officially available.
Right, that's weird.
How expensive is it?
Oh my God, dude.
For a PS5 and a PSVR 2 in Brazil.
$7,000? Ridiculous.
For the combo, let me do some math. It's $2,000 basically.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm not gonna go on like be like, oh, government regulation so bad, but it's a clear example in this one. It's like, man, it's really hurting the explosion of VR in Brazil. If there wasn't that 100%,
it is, and that's something that we as consumers obviously can't control. It's more of a governmental thing. But when you have companies like this with the passion like this,
still pulling the hustle
that other people from Brazil can see and become inspirational for, you know, other people to go, maybe we can make a voice in the VR scene or the technology industry. And then people will start paying attention from other countries. And it takes this hustle right that we're seeing right here.
Mm-hmm.
That was doing it for like over a decade
when there was no VR industry.
Who in their right mind goes into that version of this? When even now it's still like a scary market for people, but to have the vision back then. So it's like you all are the people that are going to be the future of, I think, the developers in Brazil. Yep. And hopefully those restrictions can somehow be eased, but that's,
yeah,
you know, that's somebody else.
I'm a believer. I don't know the solution. I don't know how it's done. I'm not that smart. If I was, I would have a much different job.
Done. Yeah.
But I'm a firm believer that when those barriers are overcome and you can just easily and accessibly, cheaply buy a Quest in Brazil, as easy as it is in America, that's such an untapped market that I think that it's going to be quite
it's going to screw up online gaming when the Brazilians start coming into it, because I remember how they were in online gaming
very before, competitive
so
and good.
It's like,
so,
God damn, man,
it's just such a big untapped market. You know, I think it would be big both and the consumer side. You'd see a lot more VR consumers.
It's just better for everybody
and the developers. Like, you'd see a lot more VR monkeys pop up. You know, it's so that's a completely untapped market that I think is just, it's a ticking time bomb. It's a matter of time till those barriers are overcome, and I'm excited to see that day. But a whole bunch of good stuff in this interview. I'm so hyped to see SkyClimb's full launch on the store. I think there's a lot of players that will really enjoy SkyClimb, just don't know that they'll enjoy it. So hopefully after hearing this, hopefully they know, just give it a shot. It's one of those games, you know, that within, you know, a couple minutes of playing it has that it feel. You go, okay, I can see myself doing more levels of this, and then
an hour's gone, you're five levels in, you're like, oh my God, where's my headset battery going? So to anybody, you know, I highly recommend, just give it a shot. It's a fun, family-friendly game. Before we let you two go, you know, thank you so much, Raphael and Pedro, for joining us today. But you want to drop, you know, maybe where people can stay up to date for the latest updates in SkyClimb, if that's Discord, social media, and also just, yeah, where to stay up to date for the latest and greatest.
Yeah, we have the Discord. We have the VR Monkey Tribe Discord that we have been sharing. And also the all the social media, just look for SkyClimb VR and you're going to find us. We are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and God knows where else. And also the game is going to be also launching on other platforms, of course, as you guys probably were expecting. We have already a version working on PlayStation VR 2. We are just going through the process to have it available as soon as possible on the PSVR 2 as well, which is very nice to say the trigger effect when you hold the cubes and there is a resistance on the trigger. It's pretty nice.
And just for the PC VR listeners, is it going to be on Steam VR as well?
We were working on a Steam version. We decided to go for the Oculus Store for some time because it was synced with the Oculus leaderboard and all that stuff. But yeah, there is going to be a Steam version for sure. We know that a lot of hard VR players love to play on Steam.
That's awesome. So you guys are awesome. I think I could have done double the interview time on this one. This was good energy.
I mean, to me, we're looking at serious OG in the industry.
Yeah. But,
you know, I don't know if a lot of people even knew that. I didn't know it to the extent, especially with the amount of risk that someone's willing to take.
And again, the amount that you guys are all involved in ports, everybody's all long-term Dude, VR users have
I don't want to be that guy, but there might be one team floating that PlayStation VR store library right now. I mean, if you want to get technical, but I'm just going to put it out there.
And all long-term VR
users. At some point, we saw that 10% of the whole games in PSVR 2 library were done by us.
10%.
Yeah, I believe it.
That's huge.
I believe it.
And the
official go-to for your PSVR.
Who hasn't played Drunken Bar Fight? You know, it's such a staple, dude, you know, so.
That should come standard with every headset.
I'm excited to see the next of, you know, what you all are porting to PSVR 2 and other consoles. And also just, I'm so excited to see the reception of SkyClimb at full launch.
Yeah, I think people are going to, it's going to be a silent sleeper hit.
Yeah.
That word is going to push the momentum on that one.
Yeah. And this was good energy. I think we'll definitely have to have you all back on sometime, hype up what's coming, whether that's updates or just, new projects. And yeah, just catch up. This is a fun one. So again, thank you, Pedro and Raphael, for taking the time. To the listeners, if you enjoyed the episode, as always, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, join our Discord. But more importantly, go check out SkyClimb. You know, it's a really fun game. I can't say it enough. It catches you off guard.
It's one thing to have a great game, but when it's combined with great people at a great studio, then it kind of has that extra it factor for me that it's not, you know, I've seen great games with really unpleasant people running the show, turns you off to the game. But now people will see firsthand, like, the passion and everything that was said about it from both individuals is enough to go in and give it a shot and beat that 40 seconds.
So thank you again so much. Again, to listeners, like I said, you know, go check out SkyClimb and stay tuned for next week. Ciao, ciao.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.